Thank you for joining us on our Change Lives, Change Your Lives broadcast. And now, let's listen to our special guest.
I believe he dropped in my spirit what I'm going to share with you today. So I hope very much that you'll be blessed by this word. I think it's very, very timely. So the title today is Just One. Title is Just One. So if you need a title, title is Just One. Just One. One, 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 one. Just remember that. Just One. And the main point is that in Christ we are one. And its purpose, so I'm just kind of give this out to you up front. Purpose is that there is power. There's power when we think single, one. And the challenge for you today, well, will you receive just one? Will you receive just one? So I want you to think about, for all you math people, which I am not, for all you math people out there, I want you to think about a timeline. I know Pastor's done a few number kind of examples. I listened to his message this morning, as a matter of fact, from I guess it was probably 2 weeks ago. And he, just like when he was a kid at home, he's still learning his math. So he was like, 1 + 1 = 2. I was like, yes, George, that's good. He's doing good. 2 + 2, we multiply and you get 4. So he's on the right track. Well, I'm going to follow up with that and add something to it. So I want you to think about a timeline. A timeline, of course, you know, when you took math, you have on, let's see, if you're looking at it from this direction, these are the lower numbers, these are the fractions, then we get to 0, then we get to the whole numbers, right? Yes? Y'all can talk to me this morning. Yes, we got that down. We just want to be on the same page. I want to make sure I'm understanding the math because it's not my forte. So if the lower numbers are fractions and 0 is 0, which is basically, I guess, nothing. Is that right, math people? 0 is nothing. Then when you get to 1, you get to 1. It's the first whole number, right? It is 1. There's nothing, there's no extra with it, there's no multiples, there's no, it's just 1. It's whole, there's nothing else with it. Just 1, right? Okay, so 1 does mean whole. I got this from the dictionary. Whole, single, and integrity. One is whole, single, and integrity. So I want you to think about that as we consider that word just one this morning. All right, so of course you know, and I'm kind of like my brother. I don't necessarily want to be so far away from you. I put that up there so I can look at the scriptures, but hopefully she's got me covered back there with the scriptures and I can read them as you read them. I want you to think back in Genesis, when you first look at Genesis and God is on the scene, and he's been walking with Adam and Eve. He's been with Adam and Eve. And I need a little bit of water. So he's been walking with Adam and Eve, and there are two trees in the garden, right? Tim, can you hold that? Why? Just feel something about speaking makes you feel a little dry. Makes you a little dry, and it makes you shake a little bit. So if you see me shaking, that's because I'm speaking. Or actually, really, I really don't get that nervous about speaking unless it's just a really, really heavy, like the Lord has got something that I want to be so careful with, which, you know, I want to be that all the time, but there are certain times when it's weighty. But so you got Adam and Eve, they're walking in the garden, and you've got two trees. You've got one tree that says, what? The tree of life, tree of life. You got a whole bunch of trees, but you got one tree that's the tree of life. You got a lot of trees in the garden. Adam and Eve are able to take of any other tree. Eat, eat, eat until you're heart is full. Your belly's full. Eat. You got a second tree. God told Adam and Eve, stay away from that tree. They told Adam. What's that tree? That's right, Bible scholar. Knowledge of good and evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You got the tree of life. One. You got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two. Two things that connected with that tree. And he's told Adam and Eve, I don't want you to mess with the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Of good and evil. I want you to take care of the garden. This garden has lots of things for you to eat from the tree of life. Because that's where I am. That's what I'm giving you. So I want you to take notice of this propensity of man in us today that started all the way back with Adam in the garden and Eve. So we have a propensity, and it's between what man wants to do and what God wants us to do in obeying him. We all have that tug. We all have that tug. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. This is in the ESV. So, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the whole of the earth, over the whole face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. So, just notice, God is saying to us as mankind, you in oneness, in agreement, can do a lot of things. Things that seem impossible. You can do a whole lot. And in that situation, he's saying, I'm going to confuse the language. I don't want them to get on one accord, because they are doing it with their own knowledge. They're doing it from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're doing it from that tree, not the tree of life. They're not coming to me. They're not looking to me. They're not beholding me. So it was a really big deal to recognize this place, this place of understanding what oneness can do. This agreement has some power with it. When you think about the humanity, I want you to think about it in terms of like a puzzle. With a puzzle, you've got all these many, many, many pieces. They can have all kind of different colors. Anybody like doing puzzles? So they've got lots and lots of different colors. They can be really, really big. They can be very, very elaborate. But they're really not, it's not really anything in the box with all the pieces, right? Just, you can shake them, make them music. But it's really nothing until you put it all out and you put all the pieces together to make it one, to make it one. And that's when it makes sense. That's when you can put it as a piece of art on your wall, or you can put it on the table for people to see when they come in, like, whoa, you did all that. That's where you get some beauty, something that's worthy of something. When it's still in the box, it just really is just a bunch of pieces. So the world system is basically that. It's in the box. It's a lot of little pieces, all shaken up, wreaking havoc, doing all kind of stuff. When we talk about the world system today, when we talk about things that are going on, if you listen to the news, whatever it is, we can become a little discouraged, right? There's so much happening, right, Griffin? There's a lot taking place, even on Christian college campuses, right? There's a lot happening. And a lot of happenings that are not good. And a lot of that's happening where people have come in agreement with that that's not good, right? We know, because we've been under the word for a good while, we know that all that is the world system. The world system doesn't, it works for them, but it really doesn't work in the long run, right? It's not going to give you anything in the long run. But the kingdom realm, Christ, is the best, right? And I think sometimes we will borrow, so I want to give you an example of something. Sometimes we will borrow, I think I'm going to go up here and get a little bit further away from you when I say what I'm getting ready to say. Sometimes we will borrow from this world system, maybe that, some terms. And I didn't know we were going to do anything about Black History today. I didn't know that that was coming. But I want you to consider this. We utilize some words, and words are very, all of us who have been at New Day for some time know there's power in words, right? There's power in words, and God wants us to stay so sober about what words we use, right? Because you don't want to release words that are going to bring not so good things back into your life. Words are like an order. This is what I want to happen, so I better and I need to speak things by faith, not just talk what I see so that that comes back into my life. I want to speak faith. I want to speak what I would like. We make an order. Well, when you think about the history of America and you think about the different terms that we've used to create these labels and various things, do those terms bring us to oneness? Okay, when you think about Black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, does that bring us to oneness? I'm not saying it's bad, but does it bring us to oneness? Do you think oneness when you hear that? When you think about all the different terms that we use, equality, equity, reconciliation, all of those terms, I want you to think about it in a scale. I want you to think about it in the scale of good, better, best. Those terms are not bad. Those terms have been used and been useful through a fight, right? Where is she going with this? They're good. Some terms are better than others. We could all define them, and I did, but I'm not going to share, because it's really not my point. But those terms will make you have a certain thought process. But what if, even during the time of the civil rights era, the church took up the cause of oneness? What if the church had began to stop talking about so much about this race? What if? Because when you look at the Word of God, you do not see all these races. You don't. He doesn't say that. He doesn't call us that. He says, you're either Jew or you're Gentile. And in Christ, even they are one. He does not make all these distinctions that man and man's system has made. What if the church, whether you had the skin of a person that looks like me or skin that was more pale, what if the church had taken up the cause of oneness. Oneness. Not just equity, reconciliation, equality. Those things are good. But what if the church, who is supposed to be more powerful than any system, any social system, what if the church had taken up the cause of oneness? We are one, no matter what color you are, where you come from, whether you're from South America, Africa, Europe, Native American. What if the church had just begun to see like God sees? We are one, and we're fighting a cause based on oneness. What if? What if the church had began to say, we're advancing all those who are in the kingdom, we want you. We're advancing the cause of Jesus Christ, who is for liberty, who is for you to prosper, to be in health. What if the church, even in our national constitution, had taken up the cause, Leslie, of oneness? What if the church had taken up the cause of being just, we are one? Thank you, Miss Anita. It is the best way to talk. It is the best way to release words. It is much better for us to define things based on what the Word of God says, but better than what man is speaking. He can have a lot of different books, all kind of stuff that man brings. And yes, they are good. Some are better. But the Word of God is the only one that can bring the power. The Word of God is the only one that can put us back into a place where we're all one in Him. So, in Christ, we are one. Just one. How do we know that one is best? Because one is throughout the Word of God. Look with me, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Look with me on Matthew 19:3-6. And the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, I probably should stay down there. Let me get back down here because there are those lights. I can't see through them. Have you not read that the one who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They're not two fleshes. There's only one way to do one flesh. All right. John 10:30. And I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. John 17:6-11. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, this is Jesus talking, by the way. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. Now, he's talking about the disciples. Now they know everything that you've given me came from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. Okay, hold on just there, right there for a second, Dina. I have given them the words. I've given the disciples. I've given you and me, all of us, the words that the Father gave him. Those are the words that Jesus is using. And they have received them. You have to be able to receive as being God the Father. And have come to know in truth that I came from you. and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world. I thought that was so interesting. This is Jesus. I am praying for them who have received me. I'm not even praying for the world. He died for the world. He's like, I gave my life. I'm giving my life at that point for the world. But I'm not even praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, and for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one, even as we are one. Sometimes, I know that this about oneness has to be by revelation. It is not something that you mentally ascend to. It is not something that you can do in your own strength. It is definitely grace. It's grace. Because in the natural, we judge by the flesh all the time. I don't like that person. That person doesn't feel like they like me. I don't care for that. There are all these different differences based on fleshly reasons that it's hard to recognize actually what has happened. We are one. And then you have Romans 12, 4, and 5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Okay, so again, we see we have many members in the body of Christ, as though it is a whole body. Our physical bodies can represent what Jesus is talking about. He's the head. We're the body. We have different functions. My hands don't do what my feet do. My feet do a lot. They do. They're holding me up. But we're one. We're one. I remember my precious doctor. She was telling me about one of her toes hurting, how much that affects the rest of, like, some other parts of the body, just a toe. Yes. So I want you to turn to Matthew 17, 1 through 8. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good that we are here? If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. What a great example of this oneness. You have the prophets of old. You have the disciples in the New Testament. Two different covenants. But in Christ, no one but him. Just one. Just him. Just him. So, why is one best? Why is one best? One is best because it comes from the Word, and the Word is our authority. It is our authority, and it is the power of His Word. That's why one is best. That's why it's better than all the other terms, even though they're fine. Nothing wrong with those other terms. But for us who are believers, beginning to train our spirit to speak the King's language, for us who are in Christ, beginning to speak the King's language. Not the self-identification of whatever this bodysuit, who is not even really who I am. Remember, we are. Who is our spirit? That's the real us, is our spirit. This is just something, as God likes, he's so colorful and he's so imaginative and he's just wonderful. Like all the flowers, he just knows how to create. You look in the ocean, he creates all kind of stuff. All of us sitting in here, he's just like that. But who you are is who you are in your spirit. So in Christ, we are one, just one. All right. Thirdly, the purpose of being one, the purpose of using that language, one, is that it's got power. All those other terms, guess what? If Jesus doesn't come back in 100 years, we might change them a little bit, but we'll still be talking about the same thing. I promise you that. It doesn't change anything. All of man's inclination to come up with all these different things, and we're going to talk about them, and we're going to do this and do this. No rest. There's rest in Christ. There's power in Christ because he causes us to rest in him. It's the language of the King and the kingdom. There's power. If there's anything, any reason for us to side with the word, it's because it's powerful. It's more powerful than Babel. So we all, as believers, have an assignment. And our assignment is to resist the world's language, all its labels, all its intentions, all its stuff. It might be good, and you go in and you have to kind of, y'all know me, you got to play the game sometimes. But the truth is that when you have an opportunity and you have influence, you bring the King and the kingdom and his words. And you don't hold back. You don't pull back from it. You bring the truth, because it is the truth that sets the captives free. All that other stuff will never set the captives free. So, the power of one. I want you to think about how powerful in this day and age AI has become. Don't raise your hand if you've been using it. But AI, artificial intelligence, for those of you who are like, what's she talking about? I don't know anything about that. AI, artificial intelligence. Yep, you can open up an app, you can download and give your money to it, or you can find one free online with Google. But you can open it up and you can ask it questions, and it can do all kind of stuff. It can write letters for you, it can answer stuff. Sometimes it's wrong, but never mind that. Who knows? It may have written this Bible study today. It did not, which is my point. There's no greater power than us listening to the Holy Spirit. That's the problem with AI. It is useful. It might be useful for various things. Speed things up. Let's get going. We want to get that letter out real fast. Make it look like it was me, not them. Write a paper. If you're in college, that's been a real problem for college students and professors. They're like, how can we make sure? Right, Griffin? But there is nothing that can compare. No artificial anything can compare to the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nothing. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why you don't put him in the closet. You don't make it be like, yes, it's me and. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us. So, Mark 11, 12 through 25. We're going to look at power. On the following day, when they came from Bethany and he was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, now remember, this is Jesus talking. He's traveling with his disciples. They're on a road. Jesus comes to a tree. Tree that's supposed to be producing figs. And he stops and he says to the tree, because it only has leaves on it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Who does that? Who does that? But our Lord. Why is he doing that? Why is he saying that? Because it's not producing. It's supposed to produce figs. Religion doesn't produce. Religion, as in, I am talking about religion in the noun form like other religions. We know that there's only one way to God, and that's he's the way, the truth, and the life. But I'm also talking about if we, right here at New Day, we'll just pick on us, not any other church, right here at New Day, if we reduce everything to just some protocols, rules, procedures, and leave out the Holy Spirit, those things are important. The protocols, the rules, the procedures, they are. They help things. But if we lead with that, and we leave out precious Holy Spirit who wants to lead us and guide us, we become really religious. Right? Man's system, he's got a propensity towards rules. Well, it's supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be like this, and you know, and I got this from these books over here from these really smart people who, you know, 3 PhDs. Well, Holy Spirit is smarter. And he can lead us. He might lead you to the book. He might lead you to the protocol. But make sure it's by that leading and not what we, through our philosophy, through our comforts, through our own pride, put in place things because we're just smarter. I'm just smarter than y'all because I know how to teach and tutor. I'm smarter than you, so I'm going to do it this way instead of relying on the Holy Spirit. If I do everything only by the book, I have lots of kids who come. If I do everything only by the book, and all I ever do, whether a kid comes or doesn't come or whatever, it's just by the book. It's just by what I know, what I've been taught, trained to do. Then I'm just like the fig tree. I'm not producing, really. I can produce a little something. Because man can produce something, but it's not like what happens when you are being led by the Holy Spirit and you're wrapped in the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? When you're living with him, living and moving and having your being in the Holy Spirit, and he is your go-to. He's the place, the first place. You're just so in there with him, in the pocket, that he's got in everything. So that you don't default to your own rules and plans and philosophies, protocols. It's easy to do in this culture because we're comfortable with all of that. We're comfortable. We get in with the group that says this is the way it was supposed to be. So Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. That's a heavy, heavy scripture. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So go back to the first part of that, Dina, verse 6. So the first thing is that we need to be so sensitive that we notice when we're not walking with him. If things aren't happening, if you're like the fig tree, it went on in that, it had a part where Jesus addresses something else, but then it comes back after that where the disciples were like surprised, like, the whole fig tree is just dead. It withered and died. How did that happen? It wasn't producing. It was like religion. It was just, you know, like you just go in, we're going to go to church today, and then we go sing a song, and then we go out, and then we act like we don't know Jesus. We come back up with our rules and our philosophies, our protocol. And it's really easy to get trapped in it if you don't keep the word of God right before you. It is such a mirror to how you are. Like, I don't know this when I have an attitude, but the word of God can show me when I have an attitude. I don't notice when I'm self-deceived, because that's the very definition of it, right? If you're self-deceived, you don't notice that you're deceived. You have to keep the word before you. Put that back up, Dina. Go to the next. So, staying rooted and built up and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That thanksgiving is so important. The thanksgiving to him, thanking him for who he is, thanking for what he did, thanking him for everything that we see, thanking him for one another. Entering into prayer on a daily, regular basis of being thankful for all of the people. Because that will keep your heart in check. You get an attitude with somebody, or you don't like that group over there, or if you begin to thank them, thank God for the people. So I'm going to reveal this. When I was in high school, I read a book called Die, Nigger, Die. It was a very, very in-your-face kind of book. It's not what you think, though. It was by a gentleman by the name of H. Rapp Brown. He was power to the people. I don't know. I have no idea how it ended up in Charles D. Owen High School library, but it did. It ended up on the shelves. I read that book. And that book so affected me, like, I did not know all these. I mean, it had all kind of stuff in it about, and this is during the 60s, of the fight, the demarcation line between black and white. And I read that book, and it did something on the inside of me that was not what God wanted. So Naomi had a little bit of a militant attitude after that book. Like, Lillian and Wayne had come to the school for Naomi Smith. All that fire in her and passion came out through my fist on somebody. Yes, it did. Mom and Dad showed up. The principal, though, liked me. I was a good student. And was like, we're not going to suspend her because she is such a good student. But we really can't have this happening. And now, to give you context, that student that did end up on the other side of my fist did use that N-word. And so, through that journey of beginning to, I did not know this was the American history. I did not know that this took place. When I went off to Carolina, I majored in none other than black history, African American history, to be exact. I was planning to go to law school. history will be good, but let's be specific. Let's major in African-American history. And so I did, and I learned a lot of things. A lot of things that were things that took place in America, which I don't think it really should have been called Black History. This is just a sidebar. Should just be history. Just teach history. You don't have to put a label on it. Just bring the history, right? Just bring whatever it is. And if it's American, just bring the American history. That's Naomi's opinion. But it made me sour. Sour, sour, sour. To white people, in case you didn't figure that out. I did. I had some things in me. But the Lord took me on a journey called love. He took me on a journey called love. And in that journey, he wrecked me. Now, I do want you to understand, even though I had that, I still had like, when you grow up in Black Mountain, you're, what, 1% or 2% Black, so everybody's white. So my friends were all white. It wasn't like I was power to the people and doing something to people that might come back to hurt me and my family. I wasn't stupid. All my friends were pretty much white. College. But when I began to really hunker into prayer, praying for my community, praying for the body of Christ, praying for this church, a lot of different warfare. Not always for, I mean, just warfare, like didn't have any color to it, didn't have any, this Black people or white people, just stuff. Because you're praying, you're starting a church, there's warfare when you start something new, right? There's warfare. It's not an easy kind of plant a church in a new place, it's warfare. And he took me on a journey with love. And in that journey, I got to a place with a lot of opportunities to be tested in my love walk. But I really did get to a place one time that I went before the Lord and I realized my three great grandfather is white. Lillian's. We don't know what's in Wayne's. It stops at a certain point. We can't go as far back. But in Lillian, the three great grandfather for me was one of the founders of Black Mountain, was a white Confederate soldier. You've heard that before because I think Pastor has mentioned it. But it brought to me to bear that your issue can't be across the aisle. It's not an across the aisle kind of thing. It's in your bloodline. You can't have the separation of stuff. So you go before the Lord because you're trying to learn about love. And you go before the Lord and you ask the Lord to forgive you. Forgive you for your all that was based on what man has told me was race. It wasn't what God said. And you go before the Lord and you forgive everybody white that's ever done anything Black to anybody Black in the history of America. And you go to them as though you did it and you repent. And so I sit in the place of taking in things that I read, things that I've heard, things that I've felt, things that I've experienced. And just as though I had done them, I asked the Lord to forgive me. Forgive me. As though it was me. And to release everybody that has ever done anything in my bloodline to hurt another. Just completely. I am telling you, it was like a cutting of a ribbon snap. I got free. Amen. I got free in a whole level that's a mystery to me almost. A whole level of new light coming in. A whole new level of light coming in where love abounds in my heart. It was different. it was different. And if those of you who knew me back and would know the things that I might say or think, you would know that what I say and think now is from a very, very different place. It's from a very different place. Before, it was seated in natural earthly places. Now it is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in Him. God is not okay with all our divides. He really isn't. He says, the church, you're one. You're just one. So learn how to love. Learn how to love one another. I want you to look at, finally, John 17, 12 through 26. John 17, 12 through 26. While I was with them, I kept them in your name. That's us. Included us. He's kept us in his name. His name is power and authority. Which you, God, have given me, Jesus. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's Judas. But now I'm coming to you, and the things I ask in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them, in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. That's Jesus praying for us. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. That's what I'm talking about. Hold that right there for a second, Dina. Sanctify them in your truth. This is the word. The word is what's truth. It's not what's in the books, unless the books are referring to the word. It's not what we hear. It's not what we collaborate to do. It's the word. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We're sent into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also might be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be, let's say it together, one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, all of us, all of us, not by some sections, this section or that section, but all of us together, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Keep going. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. See, we're with him, seated in heavenly places. We're with him. That's where we are. In Colossians, you'll see that. Ephesians, you'll see that. We're seated. We're seated in heavenly places. In Christ, our spirit, as one, connected to the Father. You have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. All this happened from the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you, that you have sent me. Last scripture. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. Go back. I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. His word is powerful. His word has authority. His word speaks for itself. His word is where we align, the church, us, the believers. Us, the believers, that we really are one in Christ. And it'll change us. He mentions that we will have his joy. I have a lot more joy when I started looking at love. Right? A lot more joy when we see it from his perspective and we rely on the Holy Spirit. So, will you receive just one? In Christ, we are one, just one. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you for a new language, a language of oneness, a language of the kingdom, a language that is best. We thank you for that, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord, that you abound in mercy every day, that your light floods our soul so that our soul would know you well and would be at rest. At rest. So thank you, Father, for calling us all into your family, adopting us, and making us one in Christ. And we pray this in his name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.